The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to the latest shift of the Ice Time podcast here at buffalonews.com. I'm Mike Harrington, Sabres columnist, along with Sabres beat writer Rachel Lindsay, and I think we're going to give it our all for all 60 minutes here or less, unlike what we saw from the Sabres Wednesday night in KeyBank Center. And Rachel, I'm sitting here, you know, I thought there was something amiss as I look around my room here in my office. There was a stench. I couldn't figure out what it was, and I think it was coming from downtown Buffalo on Wednesday night. What in the world do we make of a 6-2 loss to the Calgary Flames?
Number one, you cannot lose to Calgary. They went in as the cellar dweller of the NHL. I've used this term before, the empty calorie team, the team that you get a win against, not super healthy, but you eat it up and you move forward. Last night with the 6-2 loss, the Sabres went from being the team that needs to win against those empty calorie teams to being an empty calorie team. You know, one of the teams in the NHL that everybody else is going to gobble up those wins and move forward. I thought Mattias Samuelsson's statement about not everybody on that team being on board, and I'm paraphrasing that statement, I found it very fitting, especially after last night. And I'm glad Mattias Samuelsson said something, you know, rather than the usuals, Tage Thompson, Alex Tuck. I expect those guys to hold their teams accountable. Last night, you had some of those guys on the ice from the Sabres who wanted to win, who wanted to get things done. And there were some players who were just out there earning a paycheck Wednesday night. And you can't do that in the NHL because the NHL has good enough players and teams who will exploit that as a means to justify their own paycheck. Calgary did that last night. Calgary is a team that has nothing left to lose right now. I've thought about this a lot in the last 12 hours. This isn't a loss, a 6-2 loss to Calgary of all teams. This isn't on Colton Ellis. This isn't on Tage Thompson. I don't think this is on Lindy Ruff or Kevin Adams. This is on the entire team. The Sabres just went out last night and went through the motions. And that in any team sport is just unacceptable. If I'm Lindy Ruff tomorrow morning, I'm making an example of this entire roster in some way, whether it's pulling a Mike Milbury and handing out trash bags to tell players, right now you don't deserve your team branded equipment bags, or I pull a Mike Keenan and force a full practice bag skate. And the thing I also talk about is we keep asking, what is rock bottom for the Sabres? What is rock bottom for this team? Is losing to Calgary rock bottom? Or is this team going to keep going lower? I have a lot of thoughts on this. I'm going to continue.
See, here's my point. My biggest point is what you just said. What is rock bottom? Yeah. Well, rock bottom for everybody else is losing to Buffalo. Don't you think rock bottom for the Edmonton Oilers was coming in here Monday night and getting boat raced 5-1? Mm-hmm. The Samuelsson point is really germane to me because he used the word passengers. There were passengers in that team on Wednesday night, and that's a word that's like calling a team soft. You don't call a team soft in a hockey locker room. You don't call teammates passengers. And he used the word point blank. Who he was talking about, debatable. You don't know who really he's talking about, but he clearly had some guys in mind. And ultimately, to me, what stands out here, they're the last place team in the East. They can't be taking anybody lightly, but look at the missed opportunity here now. This team would have arisen Thursday morning if they had beaten the Calgary Flames, who are terrible, just for the record, who played well Wednesday, but they're terrible. The Sabres would have gotten out of bed on a 3-game winning streak for the first time this year and 2 points out of an Eastern Conference wildcard spot with all the stuff that has already gone on here. But you look at it and you say to yourself, for every Detroit comeback, for every Edmonton game, there's the opposite. And right now, the Buffalo Sabres have lost at home in the last 2 weeks to the St. Louis Blues and the Calgary Flames, to both teams' backup goaltenders, and have scored exactly 2 goals combined in those 2 games. So everything that happened before this season, and really in a lot of ways, anything that happens going forward is always going to come back to how in the world did you lay an egg against St. Louis and Calgary at home? And to me, you're looking at tough games coming up, Chicago, Carolina, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, Minnesota, all tough games. oh, look at this. They beat Pittsburgh. Oh, they beat New Jersey without Jack Hughes from the restaurant cut finger. They beat Carolina, whatever. You're going to go back for weeks and weeks and weeks and maybe into March and April. Jeez. They could have only not lost to St. Louis and Calgary in November. But that's where this team is right now. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't change no matter who the personalities are. And like you said, you know, everybody's going on and on and on about, oh, let's fire Adams, let's fire Ruff after last night. And I get it. The Calgary game is a game you could fire the coach from, you could fire the GM from. When is it going to be time to fire a few players? When is it going to be time here to put a couple guys on waivers and shake that locker room up a little? We talked about this last year. You weren't around in the 13-game winless streak, how the GM sat and did nothing. When is this GM going to do something with this roster is an overriding question I have.
Right, right. Now, I was even thinking about this as well. You know, we're at the 20-game mark of the season.
Yeah.
Most teams have figured out what works on their team, what doesn't work. They've started to crystallize their identity or their personality or their trademark as a team. I think about Colorado, they're a high-flying team that has a lot of depth, and it's not just Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. Carolina, they're a team with speed, they're a team with grit, they're a team that will work you. Buffalo, what's the saying I said to you the other day? SOS, same old Sabres. Here's what I've gleaned from the Sabres identity so far with what they have and what they haven't done yet, or what their management hasn't done yet. They can't put together a 60-minute game. And after the loss to Calgary, and frankly, Calgary played like the team the Sabres aspire to be, at least for those 60 minutes last night. Now, someone, you know, after the loss to Calgary, after some of Matias Samuelson and Tage Thompson's comments, not everybody's showing up to do it. That's this team's identity right now. They're one consistency, and consistency is a big word in hockey. The Sabres' one consistency is inconsistency.
Well, and it takes us into the next topic here.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
Well, and it takes us into the next topic here. You talk about what's their identity. How are they building a roster? Well, it's game 20. What is this team doing still with three goalies in their roster? And how are they going to get out of this pickle? Because ostensibly you would think they would find a goalie who they could run with. They would find a second goalie to be a backup. And you would just have to suck it up and wave Colton Ellis and see what happened. But Colton Ellis kind of has become the number one guy. He didn't play very well against Calgary.
For now.
Alex Lyon, for all the good he's done, was the MVP of the team the first 10 to 12 games. Alex Lyon's got three wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, you know, he gives up a muffin. I like to call it a muffin. Soft shot, pillowy soft, little floating puck goes in the net. Every game, there's a muffin. Sam, I actually should thank Sam Reinhardt for that term, muffin. He coined it. But Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen gives up a muffin every game. And they can't do that at 4.75 mil years out. What's the exit strategy in your mind for this goaltending situation?
I was thinking about this as well with Colton Ellis kind of being the guy over the last three games. For my first thought is, do we have a goalie controversy here in Buffalo with Ellis playing Alex Lyon-like? Or do we have a smart strategy of keeping three goalies? Or is it the crowded house with, like you said, UPL as the $4.75 million backup? I think we're in the same school of thought here, Mike. Maybe show UPL the door, send him to a more stable situation, and get some plug-and-play people to shake up the roster right away. This team's also dealing with injuries. Jason Zucker and Zach Benson are scheduled to come back this weekend, but there's no Michael Kesselring. We're still waiting for Josh Norris, who said he doesn't have a timeline for his return from the upper body injury. And the last night, one thing I mentioned to you was the press box was packed with scouts, you know, against for Calgary. Could be something, could be nothing. Buffalo is very central for a lot of scouts who live in Southern Ontario, very friendly confines in the press box. Maybe they're talking as still. The problem with Colton Ellis, and this is not a problem, it's rather a hindrance to getting like a full scope of what he is capable of. He's still new. We have a very small sample size for him as well. And playing UPL seems like it's just a risky endeavor. You don't know what you're going to get. Are you going to get the stability of a guy who's been a number one goalie, or the goalie who stabs at a long shot with his glove in the third period of overtime loss in Toronto? it's weird saying this, he might be the highest paid backup goalie in the NHL right now. And Alex Lyon, even though he only has 3 wins this season, he's still Mr. Dependable. You know, I was a little surprised when Lindy pulled him in Colorado last week, but it was not a decision based on Alex Lyon's play. It was based on giving up 2 goals in the first 7 minutes to Colorado. That was a Lindy move, and I thought it was a smart move.
It was a team shakeup. You're right.
Yep.
You know, the thing that strikes me now is, well, actually, the first thing that strikes me is I thought Luukkonen should have been on the plane with the Edmonton Oilers out of town, because I think he's an upgrade over Stuart Skinner, who continues to blow up for the Edmonton Oilers, was terrible here, was terrible in Washington. That's a team that needs a goaltending upgrade. Now, is Luukkonen an upgrade? I don't know, but I think Luukkonen could be. He may just need a different, a change of scenery here, a different place. They're probably going to need to put Luukkonen back out there again. If you want to move Luukkonen, if that's your choice, you're going to have to play him, because sitting him out, everybody's going to say to you, well, he's not even playing in Buffalo. We're not trading for him at that salary. So they need Luukkonen to play and win a few games. The other thing that strikes me is Ellis is going to get claimed on waivers if you try to run him through waivers. We might be seeing a heater of a young goalie in his first NHL shot. Yes. We saw this with Michael Hauser a few years ago. He won a few games. And when COVID hit, that was his last chance to play in the NHL, and he never made it to the NHL again.
And didn't I just see Michael Hauser is now in the KHL?
Like, Michael Hauser just signed in the KHL. That's correct.
So you get your Michael Hauser update, everybody listening to this.
You know, but I think Colton Ellis has a lot of potential here. But he's a young goalie. These are his first 5 games in the NHL. He was in the East Coast League 2 years ago, you know, and he worked his way up and had a good run in Springfield. But you're right. We do not know really what Colton Ellis is. We don't know what really bad Colton Ellis looks like. I think the Calgary game was kind of mediocre Colton Ellis. We saw a lot of rebound troubles, especially in the first period. But again, which goal do you think he should have stopped? You know, there's breakaway. You'd like to get a save there, but it's a breakaway. The goaltending was the least of their worries in that hockey game.
Right.
But the goaltending is a big worry for this roster, because essentially, at some point quickly here, they're going to waive Mason Gertsen. He doesn't play at all. I get why Lindy Ruff had him on the team. He doesn't serve a purpose. He's taking up a spot. He's going to have to go. But what do you do with 3 goalies taking up the spot? None of them are going to get consistent work in the net. And you know what? You do not have the monopoly on wisdom here, Buffalo Sabres. You're last in the East. If you got 3 goalies, you're probably saying to yourself, we got none. The problem is on you. And to me, they have to figure this out even before we go to the next topic, because they have a lot of other things to figure out. Okay, let's go over quickly the injury situation. Kesslering, like you said, is out long-term. Kulik is out long-term with the blood clot. Norris is still out. I would envision that's another week or two, probably. Benson skated Wednesday. That's getting very close. Jason Zucker, Lindy Ruff said, probably is playing Friday night against Chicago. And probably the easiest way back into the lineup is Jason Zucker. He's not coming back for an injury. He's just simply coming back from a heavy viral illness that took some weight off of him. Yeah. Lindy Ruff said, you know, 33-year-olds might stand to lose a few pounds anyway. When you look at this lineup now, how significant is Zucker and Benson coming back to give them some stability here? And I don't know, how do you get him back in the lineup? I mean, somebody's got to go.
That's the other thing. I mean, Jason Zucker's return is self-explanatory. 33 years old, he provides the veteran presence, the voice of experience in the locker room. On the bench, you know, what Tage Thompson and Matias Samuelsson were talking about last night, I kind of feel like Jason Zucker is a little bit kind of the veteran voice, a little bit of the straw that stirs the drink, kind of, hey, boys, let's go, pick it up. You aren't getting your job done. Yeah. And on the ice, he's the net front presence, you know. One of the things I noticed was going into Wednesday's game, Buffalo had 169 high danger 5-on-5 scoring chances, which is good. It's not great. You know, Zucker really provides that presence. He provides that voice as well. Zach Benson, I was almost going to call him Matt Benson because I used to know someone named Matt Benson. Matt Benson, the little rat, as Tage Thompson calls him, maybe another one of those guys, straw that stirs the drink. But it begs the question, if you put in Zach Benson again when he comes back? Do you bust up that first line of Doan, Thompson, and Tuck, the one that we had all the high hopes for when he came out a couple days ago? Move Doan back to the second line? Do you plug in Benson on the second line? You know, is Lindy going to shuffle all the lines as a means to shake up this team after that loss against Calgary as well?
It's real suddenly, simple. That point, yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Benson has to go back with Thompson.
Yes. Yes.
All right. But I think Tuck has to get off that line until he shows he's going to play. Mm-hmm. Right now, the biggest disappointment to me of the whole season might be Alex Tuck. From the standpoint
of costing himself money.
Right. He is costing himself millions of dollars. And the only team that's going to pay him big bucks the way he's playing right now is the Buffalo Sabres. If he wants a $10 million deal like Adrian Kempe just got in LA, he can't be playing like this. And right now, other teams are going to look at Alex Tuck in free agency, and he's going to get a $7 million, $8 million tops. And remember, the Sabres are the only team that can sign him to an 8-year deal. Now, he's got to want to commit here to 8 years and think mm-hmm. this program is going somewhere. But if he wants to get paid and he wants term, they should work out a deal. He should sign with the Sabres now because his value's dropping the way he's playing. There were mm-hmm. times in that game Wednesday night where Alex Tuck was invisible. The one thing you could not say, Tage Thompson was not invisible in that game. He had a lot of impact in that game in multiple ways. Alex Tuck has been invisible for too many games this year. And mm-hmm. I don't know if the contract is weighing on his mind. I don't know if the Olympics are weighing on his mind. But he's not getting to the Olympics other than by his television set the way he's playing. And he's not getting a $10, $11 million a year contract by the way he's playing. And to me, a guy who has dropped from that level of an elite player to where he's at right now is really holding this team back. But Lindy Ruff is going to put Zucker and Benson in this lineup. And I think right now, Tuck has to go down the pecking order here. And you've got to run Benson with Thompson and get Zucker on that power play and on the second line until you can get Tuck to wake up.
Right, right. Even on the road trip out west, the line of, you know, Tuck, McLeod, and Thompson, they had, what, one shot on goal. That is unacceptable from a line with that much firepower, that much skill, and that many expectations surrounding.
And Thompson has taken off since that game.
Yeah, he has. And Thompson's motivated himself. I think he wants to motivate the rest of the team. And here's the other question with this team. The passengers versus the drivers. Who's going to listen? That's right. The big question. And I think maybe having Jason Zucker come back, that veteran presence, a guy who's seen it all, who knows a lot, going to go around the locker room. And I'd love to know if there was a players-only meeting, you know, about all of this as well, after a loss to Calgary. You just don't lose to Calgary.
There was not a players-only meeting in the immediate aftermath of that game because we were in the locker room too quickly. That's not to
even
say...
Even today.
There's
going
not
on
say,
right now, yeah.
Right, and that's not to say there wasn't one after we left the locker room. And that's not to say that they all might be congregating over at KeyBank Center on their own on Thursday. Anyway, it just didn't happen immediately after the game. We were in and out, so you're not going to know that. But to me, you're right. Jason Zucker is a guy, if he was in the lineup against Calgary, there would have been a lot of chatter on that bench. There would have been, let's go, let's pick it up, just like you just said. He's the kind of guy
that does
that.
Maybe some mean words, too.
Yes, yes. He would have sprinkled in some polysyllabic, colorful language there, I think.
Jason Zucker, he has a very dry sense of humor, but he's also very direct. You know, that is one of the things I really respect about him. You know, he'll just say it, and he'll get in someone's face and say it. He has that personality, and he's the type of person people will listen to.
He gives you that stare, you know. Some
I know.
I haven't gotten the stare like I get from Jason Zucker since Robin Leonard was here playing goal. Robin Leonard was the ace of the stare, but Jason Zucker, you know, he's not a huge 6'5" guy like Robin Leonard was, but he gives you the stare, and you kind of have to give him the stare back a little. But you know that he's thinking, I'm trying to interpret that question and see what you're getting at. I love talking to Jason Zucker. I think it's always. First of all, it's always interesting. And second of all, it's a real challenge. So I kind of like that kind of challenge.
A little bit of like, it seems like it's a little bit of verbal badminton, if you will. You kind of get back to him a little bit. But then it's like, okay, you know, it's almost a game between reporter and player. But I respect it.
I like the guy for that reason. I think they've needed more of that for a while.
Yeah. Get the chippiness. Yeah.
Let's look here. And I know it's tough. The schedule this Olympic year is tough, and the Sabres are playing Chicago on Friday night, and Connor Bedard, you know, just super hot, whatever. The Carolina Hurricanes are here for a matinee on Sunday. And that team just drives the Sabres crazy. They've lost, I think it's 12 in a row in Carolina. And you were at the game in Carolina, and I think I might have even texted you when it happened. This team makes Sebastian Aho of the Carolina Hurricanes look like Nathan McKinnon and Sidney Crosby wrapped into one. What in the world did you see your first time to Carolina? Why does this team make Sebastian Aho look like a superstar every time they play him?
Sebastian Aho owns as much as the Sabres as the Pegula family at times. He's got 17 goals and 14 assists. He's a plus 13 in 23 games against the Sabres in his career. I always feel like it's death, taxes, and a Sebastian Aho goal against the Sabres as well.
Unbelievable.
He thrives off that Carolina style of play. Against, like, I like their speedy. They're gritty. They create their chances. I love the balance between a guy like Sebastian Aho, who's you know low key a showstopper, and a guy like Jordan Martinook, who's a grinded out dude who's going to get you a goal every day. You've got the veteran presence in Jordan Staal as well too, and Carolina also, they're on a tear. You know, prior to last night's game against Minnesota, they'd won what, 6 of 8, and they're winning games without Jacob Slavin, who was my preseason Norris pick as well, and one of those teams. There isn't a guy who is a superstar like a Nathan McKinnon or a Sidney Crosby. Except when they play the Sabres, it's Sebastian Aho who's the superstar. But they're a team, all the cogs keep running, which is what I like about Carolina. And Sebastian Aho just picks his spots against the Sabres. And something like, oh, let's watch the Sabres, Sabres Hurricanes, so we can watch Sebastian Aho, which is a little sad to say, you know, it is. You know, a friend of mine's going to her first hockey game this weekend, and she's going to see Carolina, and I said, keep an eye out for Sebastian Aho as well. As we're going through the schedule, you know, I'm looking at Friday. You brought up Connor Bedard as well, Chicago's young star, the number one overall pick 2 years ago. Blackhawks are 10-5-4, very un-Blackhawks of recent years. And Connor Bedard was just named an assistant captain this week. He's got 29 points in his first 19 games. He's up there with the Nathan McKinnons and Connor McDavids of the world right now. And I kind of did some mathing here. It's not pace. Not Connor Bedard's on pace for 125 points this season. Yeah. Who knows? He might get 10 of them against the Sabres the way the Sabres are playing as well. But it's just a ridiculous pace that Connor Bedard is on. He is becoming the Connor Bedard people expected of him after his first season, an injury-riddled first season as well.
And here's the trivia for Connor Bedard. Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini both had hat tricks on Wednesday night. It was the first time since Wednesday night. I'm losing track of my days. What day? Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
One of those. This first time two teenagers had hat tricks on the same day since 1944.
Ooh, wow.
That's how Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini are bursting on the scene this year. So it's the Blackhawks on Friday. And here's the scary part to me on Carolina. The Sabres have to go back on the road. This is a 4-game homestand. They've got to go back on the road.
Well, after the road is Carolina. Nothing kind to them.
They're playing a road game in Pittsburgh. They're playing a home game against the Devils. They're playing a road game on a back-to-back in Minnesota. They got Winnipeg at home, and then it's 6 games out west. Mm-hmm. You know, so many factors in this season. What have you seen on the road at this point? The win in Detroit, which they were down 4-1 late in the second period, the last team in the league to get a road win. They've got one road win this year. So if they go, we're a quarter of the way through the season. If they have 4 road wins, obviously they're cooked. How can this team get some movement going on the road here? Because there's been pretty good play at home. Strangely enough, they've only lost 2 of the last 10 at home in regulation, and they're to St. Louis and Calgary, as we've already said. How do they get some traction on the road?
First off, I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning. They've got to solidify their identity and their consistency. This team, again, 20 games in, they got to figure out who they are, what they are, what works, what doesn't. Every night I was on that road trip, Raleigh, Utah, Colorado, I saw different teams. I saw different hot spots at different times. I saw different thuds at different times. I mean, look at the Detroit game. It's kind of a microcosm. It just seemed like that team didn't get motivated until the third period when they're down by a few goals. Oh, we got to get it in gear. You can't do that every night. You can't do that. The team's got to figure things out before they take that massive road trip out west. But well, before they go to Pittsburgh as well, too. I mean, Pittsburgh is they're another one. They had a hot start, even though they lost five of the last seven. You know, they came out of the gates, but they've still got a team. They've got to play Malkin, Crosby, Brian, Rust as well. I mean, it can't look too far ahead in them, but this is the time. They got the two more home games where they've done well for the most part, other than that abomination last night against Calgary. They got to figure it out. What is going to be our identity? What are going to be our calling cards? What is our strategy each time? You can't just go out into a game, go out on the ice in the first period and say, all right, let's just go with the flow. You can't do that. You have to be tactful when you play.
And Lindy Ruff made the point after the game against Calgary. They're not physically engaged enough at the start of games. Rachel, they were one of the best teams in the league last year in scoring first goals. In the first 20 games this year, they are tied for last in the league. They only have six first goals in the game. Calgary opened the scoring Wednesday night. It's the 14th time this year the Sabres have fallen into the 1-0 hole. That, to me, is the identity piece. Being engaged right from the opening faceoff and being physical and getting ahead and not chasing games. They're chasing too many games, and we're seeing the results.
If you can't, you know, you can't dig yourself in a hole in the first place and then spend the rest of the game trying to get out of it. It's not possible. It's not healthy. It's not something you can do on a consistent basis, rally from a two-goal or a three-goal deficit. I think I'll tell you another thing. I just thought the third period Wednesday night against Calgary, that was kind of the doom scroll, if you will. It just I kept asking, where is this team? You can't play two periods and expect to be competitive for a full 60 minutes.
No, it's an ugly final thought there, but for an ugly game. And, you know, as always, we'll be on the road with the Sabres. Rachel's going to be in Pittsburgh. I'll be in Minnesota. Minnesota, one of the most underrated arenas in the NHL. No one thinks of it as one
built for hockey. Yeah.
No one thinks of it as one of the great places to watch a game in the league, but it truly is. So we'll see if the Sabres can pull something out there on a back-to-back. All your coverage continues in the Buffalo News and BuffaloNews.com. For Rachel Lindsay, this is Mike Harrington. Thanks for watching and listening.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.